You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And you are listening to Andrew Cogan with Something Going On, and we are joined with him this morning in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in, and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very perky for in the morning. Usually we get people coming in and they kind of have to snap themselves into like an alertness.
Well, morning's my favourite time. I have a morning ritual, and that is I start with a good bowl of granola.
And a
strong coffee. And it's my favourite meal of the day, so I feel great. It's all downhill from here.
It's all fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And I just wanted to ask you, like, how does it feel to be back in New Zealand?
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
How is it nice?
I don't know. It's like you're reminded when you come back of how fresh New Zealand is. Everything feels fresh and. Everyone's so nice and...
Is everyone so nice? Well, fantastic. I just wanted to ask you, like, you released your album, Every Orchard Offering, midway through last year. Mm. What does it feel like for you to kind of look back on it? Or do you like to reflect on music that you've made?
I don't tend to spend too much time dwelling on it. And it did take me some 3 years to make it. So I think when something takes you that long to make... you release it. It's not that you get sick of it, because then you start touring it around. It's more that you've spent so much time with it that you are naturally thinking of the next thing you'd like to make and where you'd like to take things after that. I've really enjoyed playing the songs from it.
It's a fantastic album.
Thank you.
And your single track, Something Going On, which we were listening to, which... is amazing, and I was saying to you, for me, it kind of sounded a little bit like David Byrne, the sound and stuff. I kind of wanted to ask as well, with that track, was the vocal kind of part of it really important to you?
It was. It was actually, I actually originally wrote that song for a friend's film, and so it started off that way. And then I actually got Chelsea Nickel from Princess Chelsea to help with some of the backing vocals. And that took it, I think, in a slightly different direction again because of the tone of her voice, the way she sings.
So definitely other musicians influence your approach to your own songs?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's you naturally, you know, pick up from things that you're listening to.
Yeah.
And... you know, my influences, I think, like a lot of musicians, are quite eclectic, and that song especially, I think, you know, is influenced by bands that I've grown up listening to, like The Cure, Talking Heads, David Bowie, sort of late 70s kind of stuff.
Well, you can definitely hear it in the sound. For sure, the David Byrne Talking Heads thing in particular, that just like stood out for me as soon as I heard your like solo voice. Something Going On is headlining your New Zealand tour. Why did you want to do a tour now? Why did you also want to kind of feature this song, which has been on your album last year?
I would have liked to have got back here sooner from the States. Mm. And we did a tour after the album came out last July. And just for various reasons, haven't been able to get back here before now. So, you know, I'd probably been intending to get back towards the end of last year. So it is somewhat of a belated album release tour. But the nice thing is, I guess, for audiences here, it is still a relatively new thing. Mm. Certainly the live's, you know, show side of it. I don't know. This for me, it's the song I enjoy, you know, playing the most from the album. So while it's the third song to kind of be released from it, it's the one I enjoy the most, so it still has a certain freshness to it for me.
And I suppose it's kind of cool for you as well, because it means you can pick up this music and play around with it again and be like, oh, I actually do you like pick it up and you're like, oh, I want to add this into it, even though I know that it's not in the actual recorded track. Do you ever get that?
Yeah, I do. And a couple of the shows on the tour, I'm actually, the one in Melbourne I'm doing on my own. And I've been working on a show that is just singing, and I'm playing classical guitar. So I've had to rearrange a lot of the songs to suit that sort of format. And I guess I picked up that idea a little bit from a show I saw at the end of last year in LA with Georgia Ben, who's the Brazilian musician who did the Life Aquatic soundtrack, where he was taking David Bowie songs and reimagining them in, I guess, a bossa nova sort of Brazilian way. And that blew me away. That was just him singing with a classical guitar. And I thought it'd be really nice to take that sort of approach to some of these songs for a couple of the shows.
Have you had to kind of chop some things out because it's just not possible for you to be able to do that much?
There are some of them that I'd sort of need sort of an octopus number of limbs to do justice to, which would be eight limbs with an octopus. So there's only so much you can do with two hands, but do my best. Yeah.
Amazing. And how do you kind of go through a process of composing a piece of music? I know you probably get asked this question quite a lot, but it's always interesting to kind of hear how somebody makes a music and then also listen to their piece and see how that kind of relates to each other.
Yeah, it's for me usually a melody line first that's usually driving along in a car, and a melody line, and then grabbing my phone and trying to record it quickly.
Yeah.
Sometimes more recently it's been mucking around at the piano and trying different chord progressions, and you know, if you hop onto a different instrument, obviously it takes you in a different direction, you play it in a different way, especially if it's not your first instrument, which piano is, it's not my first instrument. So you know, you approach things less conventionally.
Yeah, I suppose that means you are more open to a kind of experimenting because you don't feel so restrained with all of those like techniques that you learn as a classical pianist.
I think so, yeah.
Cool. And I mean, there's so many technical sounds to the track and also to the album as a whole. How are you going to be transforming that on stage? Because you must need a lot. How many musicians are you having playing with you?
Actually, just three of us.
Just three?
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing the shows in the States as a three-piece. I have a band over there in LA, two other musicians that I work with. So drums, bass, myself playing guitar and singing, and then we use some Ableton Live stuff as well to cover off some of the more synthy textural stuff. And I think we've become more accustomed to that. We no longer see a laptop on stage and go,
oh my god,
what's that? it's become, you know, just part of the furniture, hasn't it?
Well, I suppose it's important when you want to be making this kind of music. Like, you do essentially need it, unless you have, like, heaps of people making that one sound that this, like you said, Ableton can do.
Yeah, yeah, I think it has. I think it's made, it has made, you know, a bigger sound on a live possible without, you know, blowing the bank, blowing the budget,
absolutely. And because you are residing in the United States at the moment, so you lived in New York for a little bit and then you've traveled all the way over to Los Angeles. I wanted to ask, like, how does change in environment, how has it affected kind of your approach to making music?
They're two quite different cities. New York, sort of this it's a kind of city that sort of grabs you by the scruff of the neck, and you jump at everything, you go to a lot of stuff, you hop on a subway, you go all over and experience a lot. It's kind of like an analogy might be that it's sort of like a pash behind the bike sheds in a way. New York, LA is a bit of a kind of holding hands for the first few dates, and it seems to take a while to feel less awkward. It's a huge sprawling city that's much harder to get around and get to see things in. So I don't quite know yet. Perhaps it gives you a little bit more breathing space and time to contemplate and take your time with things.
And have you met other interesting musicians while living overseas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's sort of one of the the benefits of spending some time overseas for any musician is that you do meet other people who perhaps challenge the way you approach things and introduce you to new ways of making music. So that's positive, and that has happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you working on anything at the moment, or are you kind of just chilling out?
I've been writing on the piano
Cool.
A lot lately. So I know when I get back to the States, that's one of the first things I need to do is to find an upright piano sitting on a street that no one loves anymore that I can put onto my back.
Those things are so hard to transport.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was I going to ask? I'm sorry, my mind has just gone blank. But so are you going to be taking any elements, do you think, from your previous album and pushing it through into like some new music? Is there anything that you kind of worked on that you really are just like, oh, I want to keep that and I want to keep using it?
Yeah, I sort of feel that where I'll probably head is I'd like to ask other people to sing some of my songs more.
Cool.
Which would allow me to maybe take a little bit of a step back in a way from all the singing duties and work with other people's interesting voices.
Yeah.
And approaches to tackling the songs that I write. That's something that interests me at the moment.
I mean, collaboration is always really lovely and fascinating, and it's nice for like the listener to hear kind of somebody else's work but through another person's kind of voice or
absolutely. And I think nearly half of the songs on this new album are duets, you know, with Princess Chelsea and Holly from Tiny Ruins and Claire Duncan from IE Crazy. So I think that is something I'd like to explore further.
Are you going to be having anybody on stage collaborating, like anybody that was in the recordings playing on stage with you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in this morning and speaking with us. It sounds like it's going to be a couple of fantastic shows you're going to be playing down in Christchurch, if anybody is wanting to go to Christchurch. You're going to be playing on April 21st down there. And also you're going to be playing in Auckland, which is going to be happening on April 28th at the Tuning Fork. And people can get tickets at Ticketmaster. And I believe you can go through Under the Radar as well. And thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best on all your musical endeavours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.